Message today in this meeting is the continuation of discipling process, okay? So what we're laying out, what I'm laying out today is something that you can take and then learn from it and continue to lay it out, because all of us have times where we get into trouble, right? Some of the trouble that we come into, and we really don't know it as much as the Middle Eastern countries that have a huge Muslim population that comes against Christianity or things like that. But one of the things that does still happen in United States of America is a thing called persecution, correct? Now, listen, persecution comes in many forms. It doesn't just come in the form of your head being cut off, all right? Sometimes it comes in the form of your job telling you that you can't speak that way. You can't show your faith as a Christian. You can't pray, or whatever the case may be. Sometimes it comes from those that mean sometimes the most to us, like family and friends, where they say things like, you are out of this world, you've lost your mind, when are you going to come to your senses? This whole Jesus stuff just isn't cool anymore, right? That's persecution, though, guys, all right? And the Bible says that Jesus didn't come to bring peace between brother and sister, but actually there is a war that wages on there, because there's still people in the world that are blinded by the god of this world, right? Yes, you, if you know Jesus Christ, you've been enlightened. You now have seen the light, right? And you see the light, and your life should have a change within the process. Now, when persecutions come, there is a surefire way. There is an absolute guarantee to stop the persecutions and that type of trouble in your life. Do you want to know what it is?
Yes, sir.
Compromise. Compromise. If somebody is coming against you because of your belief in Jesus Christ, all you got to do is compromise with them. Oh, yeah. Well, that's, yeah, well, you know, I used to go to church every Sunday, but now I only go once a month so I can spend more time with you on Sunday. Well, you know, I get drunk in the Spirit all the time, man. You know, I'm ever filled with the Spirit of God. That's my new wine. But, man, you know what? I can go out with you to the bar Friday night. Let's go ahead and do that. If you want to stop the persecutions in your life that come from people who are not Christians, now, if they're coming from other Christians, that's a sad thing, and that's where the church needs to change. Amen? But if it's coming from those that don't know Jesus Christ, compromise. Now, think about that. Think about that. Are you secure in your faith enough to know that you will never be alone? Are you secure enough in your faith to know that even when people come against you, God is still for you? That he will never leave you or forsake you. And even when you feel like you're an island all on your own, even if it's coming from close family members or close friends or whatever the case may be, that there is a body of Jesus Christ known as the church that should be there as well to have your back and help you out through the tough situations. I've had a vision in the past of I don't want to say vision to confuse anybody, but I've had this mindset of, you know, man, I just feel in my spirit like revival is coming, you know, being revived, right? And in the process of all of that, I would tell myself, but I don't know what it looks like. Well, here's the reality. It's not this. Okay, it's not Sunday morning service. Revival is not Sunday morning service. And what we do on Sunday morning service isn't what the church should only do. Amen? So I heard a word the other day, and it said, pastor isn't a position. Pastor is a function in the body of Christ. And that resonates with me. Because I don't hold a position. I have a function. As that, just as an evangelist, their job isn't to go and evangelize. They go to all these meetings with other believers and they preach the word of God. Their job is to teach others to evangelize. Do you understand what I'm saying? My job is to share the word so all of us become equipped and understand better on how to function and live in this life. a representative of what a father could be. That's the function of a pastor. So I don't want to hold a position. And if you don't call me Pastor Mike, that don't hurt my feelings. My name's Mike. Do you understand? I'm just laying out some things because many times, and this is something important to know as well. We many times, especially being spirit-filled, prayer language, Pentecostal, whatever the case may be, we'll say things like, you know, the tradition of man has made made the word of God of no effect, right? Well, it has. But here's the deal. Sunday morning meeting in church is a tradition of man. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not coming against church. No, because this is where we come corporately together to grab strength and build, right? What do you do when trouble comes? You get around other believers. You surround yourself with wise counsel. This is scripture, right? But this building isn't the church. You are the church. You are the body of Christ. Did you know Jesus Christ still walks the earth? Because I'm the body and he's walking with me, right? If you're his body, you're Jesus walking. You're Jesus moving. You're Jesus in action, empowered by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. That is the body of Christ. So when you leave here, that's when your mission starts. That's when your journey starts. You know, walking with, you know, life. Life is a journey, right? But with God, it's an adventure. This is exciting. There's things that can happen. What happens when you walk up to somebody on the street, man, they got a limp, and you say, can I pray for you? And they say, I don't know, you know, real quick, man, because you don't have to be elaborate in your prayer. Silver and gold I have none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, stand and walk. You don't have to have elaborate prayers. I pray that your knee brings healing in Jesus' name. How's it feel now? Oh my gosh, what is that you have? It's not me. It's Jesus. Do you want to know about him? Come on. That's the church moving. That's discipleship. That's the body of Christ making a difference. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? Sorry, I'll calm it down a little bit. No, I'm just kidding. I won't. Anyways, this is a realistic and attainable goal. That you spend more time saying, thank you, Jesus, instead of I'm sorry, God. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? When you start to believe right, you will start to act right. You will start to move right. You will start to do things that are right. Not because you're seeking salvation, but because it's good. Good. G-O-O-D, period. The fuller explanation of God. G-O-D, good, right? Because everything he created is good. So my goal, my realistic goal in life, because it came to me in prayer the other day, is, Lord, I just want to spend more time saying thank you, Lord, instead of I'm sorry. And do you know, when I'm walking through life and I'm going, thank you, Lord, in the good times and the bad times. You know what I mean? In the good times and the bad times. What do you do when trouble comes? Thank God. Thank God that you're not alone. Yes. Do you hear me? Did I drop something? In God we trust. Hallelujah. Did that come from heaven or did people throw stuff? Do you understand what I'm saying? We need to. It's not something that's way, way out there to say thank you, God. But so often we find ourselves going, I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry, God. I messed up again. I messed up again. Start thinking. God loves you, even in your messes. Start thanking him with an attitude of gratitude. Start getting your heart connected back to God, back to what he wants in your life, and start giving him praise for everything that's taking place. Who was having trouble with this weather? Not today or yesterday, but this long extended winter. Anybody like looking out going, whoa, right? Guys, it was starting to wear on me. It was really starting to wear on me. It was like, really? Again? My dog's looking at me with his rope in his mouth like, let's go for a walk. And I'm like, dude, it's cold outside. You know, we'll play fetch in the house. You know, Lord, let me not break a window because, you know, throwing the rope. But do you understand what I'm saying? But even in that, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Thank you, Lord, that you're in charge. And when I submit to you, I roll with you. You know what I mean? We can make our own decisions and walk our own way, but I like following his footsteps. Got a new Bible. Got a collection of them. This is called the Passion Translation. I typed out God's Word, but the Passion Translation, man, it's just a lovely word. It's just a lovely word if you've never read it. If you have YouVersion, you can click on YouVersion, the Bible app, and you can look up the Passion Translation and see if it resonates with you. But I want to read out of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 is one of our foundational scriptures here at Shield of Faith, okay? In this ministry, it's one of our foundational scriptures. And, you know, I have to tell you, Pastor Weldon has laid out an extremely beautiful format of how the church body should be moving. But sometimes, you know, we need to just kind of stir that fire a little bit so that we can get moving outside of the four walls. But I look at the body of Christ in here, and I'm just like, man, I know that this is a praying body of Christ. I know that this is a moving body of Christ. I know that this is a body of Christ that is making differences in their area. But I'm always in the challenge of what else can we do to get even better in that area, right? And I think as a disciple of Jesus Christ, we should never grow weary in trying to get better or, I want to say more perfected, but our perfection's in Christ. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Timothy, my dear son, live your life empowered by God's free-flowing grace, which is your true strength. Everybody, underlying true strength, or in your Bible it may say strength, whatever it says there, it's your true strength, which is your true strength found in the anointing of Jesus and your union with him. Verse 2, and all that you have learned from me, confirmed by the integrity of my life, deposit into faithful leaders who are competent to teach the congregations the same revelation. Piggybacking a little bit on what Pastor Weldon was talking about last week, your ministry, we are all ministers, amen? Amen. We are all priests, amen? Amen. All right? We're taking tradition out of the way. The Bible has called us all priests. Jesus is our high priest. That means all of us have the ability to go before the Lord. Amen. The things that you are learning and that you're being taught on Sunday service, in your Bible studies, your own personal readings, your own personal studies, these are the things now that you should be taking to others to give to them, all right? So that they then, in turn, can take it and give to others, all right? Those that I prayed with today, if you receive some sort of healing in that, take that and now pray for somebody else. And you don't have to pray that every ligament and joint and function and fuse and cell and DNA all line up, man. Just ask God to heal whatever's ailing them, right? You got pain in your knee, Lord, heal this knee in Jesus' name. Boom. And he's the one who does it. Verse 1 here says that your strength comes from Jesus. So what do you do when trouble comes? Number one, your strength that you have comes through Jesus Christ. The Bible says that you can do all things through who? Christ Jesus, who gives you what? Strength, right? So whenever you're coming into some sort of obstacle in your life, seek him. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all things shall be added unto you. Passion Translation says, and all these little things will be added unto you. Basically, the stuff that really doesn't matter much. Why? Because the most important thing that matters is seeking him first. Wow. Do you know how the Bible also says that we're a peculiar people, right? Or a special people. Using that term special, do you know how special we are to have the ability to get through things that people in the world can't get through? That is a what? Gift. That is really cool that because God loves us, now he loves everyone, right? For God so loved the world, right, that he gave his son. But those who say, they hear that call and they say, yes, Lord, come and be my Lord and Savior. He has given us the way out to do some things. Number one, Jesus Christ is our strength. He left, right, and gave us what? A comforter, the power. Did you know nobody's ministry started until they received the power of the Holy Spirit? Do you know Jesus Christ did not start his ministry until he went, was water baptized, and the Spirit of God fell on him, became in him? Then what did he do? He started his ministry. Do you know the disciples in the upper room, the 120 believers that were up there, they didn't go out and start preaching in power and speaking and moving in signs and wonders to the fullness until the Spirit of God fell upon them. And their ministry truly started then. Acts 2 of Acts. Chapter 2 of Acts, okay? Chapter 2 of Acts is really the start of the New Testament church. The church that we know right now is second chapter of Acts. All of that before, Pastor Welland calls the Gospels the transition scriptures. They most certainly are. They're transitioning people to understand what it is that we have. But the new church, the thing that we're a part of, did not start until they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. They spoke in tongues. They stepped out in boldness, and signs and wonders followed them everywhere they went. And on that very day, 3,000 were added to the church. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. As we continue to move on what to do when trouble comes, it says, somewhere in this scripture here, I'm going to read it out the one I can see. I'm suffering disgrace for spreading this good news. I have even been put into prison, chained like a criminal. However, God's word is not imprisoned or chained. Second thing. What to do when trouble comes? You need to understand with your whole heart that God's Word, the Word of God that is in here, that and the Holy Spirit that brings it into remembrance of you, is not chained. It is not bound by anything. Matter of fact, wherever you loose it, God's Word has power. Do you hear what I'm saying? We also have the power to bind those things that we don't want and loose the Word of God and see signs and wonders and miraculous things happen. His word is not imprisoned. So you may be within your own life feeling like you're in a prison. You may feel like you're in a 6-foot hole that you can't climb out of. You may have a family member or somebody you know that is just stuck in a rut. God's word is not chained. God's word is not imprisoned. And you are a vessel of his word. Speak it out. Speak forth freedom and watch it come. Go in faith, believe in the name of Jesus Christ, be free, and watch it come. I was going to say this earlier, but I'm going to say it right now. I was going to say it later, but I'm going to say it right now. Come on. The word repent. People take the word repent, and they have a very, very negative connotation of it. They think that the word repent means that every single sin that you're doing in life, you have to cry out, and it always seems to have this bad connotation. I need to repent. Repent simply means to change your mind. If you're dealing with an addiction and your mind is telling you that I can't break this addiction, the word repent means to change your mind. So when you come up to confess, I repent, Lord, that this addiction needs to have nothing over me. Watch what happens, because now you're just changing your mind. Second Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So I repent of this. If you have a life that has fear in it and it keeps you from going into your full destiny of life, then all you got to do is, Lord, I repent of this fear. And all of a sudden, watch, you've changed your mind about the fear that you have because it doesn't have a hold over you. And watch the power of God move into your life. If you deal with anxiety, Lord, I repent of having this anxiety in my life. Change your mind about the anxiety and watch the peace of God cover you. And Lord, I'm unhappy and I'm moody and I can't get out of it. I repent of it and watch the joy of the Lord overcome you and take you out. Yes. Watch the Spirit of God fall on you and change your life. Repent is not a bad word. Oh, repent is a powerful word. We must change the way we think about things, guys. Yes, sir. Matthew 4, 1 through 11, as we continue to move on, what to do when trouble comes. Many of you already know the scripture is when Jesus goes into the wilderness. And I want to read it in its fullness here. Matthew chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Now remember, Jesus had just been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, right? And from there, immediately afterward, the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the lonely wilderness in order to reveal his strength against the accuser. By going through the ordeal of testing and after fasting for 40 days, Jesus was extremely weak and famished. Then the tempter came to entice him to provide food by doing a miracle. So he said to Jesus, "How can you possibly be?" Oh, you need to hear this. The tempter, Satan himself, comes against Jesus. And he says, "How can you possibly be the Son of God and go hungry? Just order these stones to be turned into loaves of bread." Doesn't that sound like the Garden of Eden? Doesn't that sound like when the serpent went to Eve and said, "You surely won't die. God just doesn't want you to see who you are," right? I mean, he tempts us in a lot of little ways. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Jesus answered, you need to understand this. Jesus answered, the scripture says, what did Jesus answer with? The scripture, the word, right? Now, the New Testament wasn't written. He spoke the old word. Does the old word still work? Yes, it does. Yes, it does, brothers and sisters. You better believe it. We are a new covenant church, but the old word still works, okay? Because Jesus spoke it. And he says, "Bread alone will not satisfy, but true life is found in every word which constantly goes forth from God's mouth." Now, what did 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 say? God's word is not imprisoned. So remember that. The word that we speak over the situation and the circumstance has power. Aligning our faith with what we do has power, but none of it has the full power until we're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That is when your ministry starts. Yeah. All of us are ministers, and all of us have the filling of the Holy Spirit. Some of us just haven't acted on it. Sometimes now it's just time to repent from not acting on it and act on it. Amen? Yeah. Not a bad word to repent. Amen. Moving on. Then the accuser transported Jesus to the holy city of Jerusalem and perched him on the highest point of the temple and said to him, "If you're really God's son," again, right? "If you're really God's son, jump, and the angels will catch you, for it is written in Scripture." So you see, Satan is now trying to use Scripture against Jesus because Jesus used Scripture and successfully destroyed what he was saying, right? So Satan is going, "Well, let me use this scripture," because Satan knows the Bible too, guys. But Satan is missing something. What is he missing? The power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's missing the whole Godhead part of it. But what do you have? The power of the Holy Spirit. Does this make any sense whatsoever? Yeah. It is. So Satan says, "It's written in Scripture, he will command his angels to protect you, and they will lift you up so that you won't even bruise your foot on a rock." Once again, everybody say, "Once again." Once again. Jesus said to him, "The scripture says, you must never put the Lord your God to a test." And then a third time, the accuser lifted Jesus up into a very high mountain, very high mountain range, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all the splendor that goes with it and all the kingdoms. And he says, "All of these kingdoms I will give to you." The accuser said, "If you will kneel down before me and worship me." But Jesus said, this is the third part. "Go away, enemy. Go away." If it says go away and you're in the scripture, underline it. Go away, for the scripture says, "Kneel before the Lord your God and worship him only." Verse 11, at once the accuser left him, and angels suddenly gathered around Jesus to minister to his needs. Do some of us need angels to minister to our needs? All right? Satan was saying, okay, you're hungry, you're thirsty, you're tired, you're physically weak. And Jesus is going, I may be physically weak, but I am strong in the Lord. And I am telling you that this isn't going to happen because the word says, I will serve no other God except you. And then all of a sudden he says, go. And what happened? The accuser left him. Sometimes we just need to say, go. And wait for the angels to minister to you. Wait for the angels to take care of your needs, right? Man, think about it. So what do you do when trouble comes? Speak the word. And when you're under attack, you tell whatever it is to get out. Go. Go is one of the most powerful words, not the most, right? I would say love is the most. But go is one of the most powerful words that Jesus used in Scripture that instructs us, okay? First thing he did is he told Satan, go. And then later on, after he trained up his disciples, he told them, go. Right? Think about it. Satan left. Sometimes we just need to get up and leave wherever we're at and go too. Right? You ever had that person that said, you know, they just kind of come over your heart and you're like, man, I probably should pray for them. And but this thing of like fear and doubt come over you. Do you know why doubt comes in? Doubt comes in, guys, because we are afraid that maybe somebody isn't going to get their healing, all right? But how do you know if you never apply it? How do you know if you never try, right? I may try once and it don't work. I may try again and it don't work, but it's not me doing the healing, it's him. It's not you doing the healing, it's him. But you are the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. You are the ones being used down here to make a difference, right? Woo, man. That's good stuff. Thank you for the water. I'm going to get to my notes. So, I'm closing in this area because we have time to do some things. Because I'm going to open it up for prayer. That's something that we can never get away from, guys, is prayer. We pray every single day here at the church, Monday through Friday, right? And we see answered prayers happen all the time. But what better place to test, if you will, what God can use you for than right in the body of believers and watch and see what happens. So, again, don't be so concerned about the food afterwards. If you need prayer, come up for prayer. And if I'm overwhelmed, some other people can come up and join me and help pray for people. Amen. But this is some of the things I want you to take away from today. Number one, be thankful. Be thankful, okay? Stop walking around with the word, I'm sorry, God, all the time. If you need to say you're sorry if it makes you feel better. But when you start to move and walk in what God wants for you because it's beneficial for you and the kingdom, you will start to say thank you more often. And sometimes you just need to train yourself. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Yes, even when it's really hard, yes, thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you. Because what you're going through still is not as bad as some other people. Think about that. I learned that in the Army. The word works. Yes, sir. Amen. Go means go. God is stronger than you. The Holy Spirit starts our ministry. I said it already. I say it again. Life is a journey, but with God, it's an adventure. And because we walk the earth, Jesus does too. Father, I thank you for the food that we will be partaking of. Father, I ask in Jesus Christ's glorious name that you bless it to the nourishment of everyone that's here. Thank you, Lord. For those that are watching on Facebook, Father, whatever their needs are, whatever they may be lacking, Father, whatever they may need to change their mind about, Father, work in their lives, transform them to new. In Jesus' name. You shut it off, please.